Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Not too shabby? All right. Well, hey, listen, we're doing a series called Person of Interest, and we talked a lot last week about how interested God is in you. In fact, that he would send his son for you personally because he wanted a relationship with you. Today, we're going to continue that series, but on a little different vein, and God's interest in us with each other. We all have a very deep need to belong. Would you agree with that? We all feel like we need to belong somewhere. In fact, we'll even do really stupid things in order to belong, won't we? Yes. What? Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Now, listen, I want you to be thinking of the dumbest thing you've ever done to belong. The dumbest thing you've ever done to belong. Does anybody want to share with the group?
No.
Bunch of chickens? I'm really hoping for some honest. Lisa, tell us. You tried smoking cigarettes because
you... 3 days.
Yeah, okay.
Until I was green and couldn't do it anymore.
Well, that was sort of where I was going to go because when I was in fourth grade, my buddies found a pack of Red Man Chew. Unopened on the side of the road. And we took it back to our clubhouse and we all looked each other in the eyeball and we said, come on, man, let's do it. Come on, this is part of our club. And so we took a big old hunk of that stuff, put it in our cheek, and proceeded to swallow half of it. So we had a great bonding time of throwing up with each other. That's one of the dumb things, just one of the dumb things I've done to belong. I had another one, but I'm glad you said that and made me think of that so I didn't have to tell the other one. I'll be honest with you. We all have a deep need to belong. In fact, God said, second chapter of the Bible, he says, it is not good that man be alone. He didn't get very far into creation. He says, it is not good for man to be alone. I've created him to have relationship with me and meaningful relationship. These animals he just named, it's not sufficient. He needs somebody that he can live life with because life is not meant to be lived alone. Life is not meant to be lived alone. So the vast majority of people get married and find, awesome relationship, awesome companionship and intimacy in a marriage relationship. Most of us will experience that at some point in our lives. But I can tell you after this, after 18 years of being married to a wonderful woman, she needs more than me in her life. She needs more, she's got more relationship needs than I can meet in her life. She likes girl time. I think the women's ministry did like a pajama party last year. I'm like, what is that all about? They're all whooping. I don't get it. But for some reason, that meets a very deep need for my wife. She has a need to belong. And I'll just be honest, I don't need girl time. I need guy time. I need it too. I need to hang out with the dudes. We are relational creatures. God made us to want relationship. In fact, isolation always leads to frustration. Isolation always leads to frustration, and sometimes it leads to depression. If you are isolated from meaningful relationships, see, you can be surrounded by people. You can be surrounded with people at work and at home and at school and in your neighborhood and at the store. You can be around people all the time and feel very, very alone. In fact, I would say most of us have experienced that. Maybe you are today. See, here's what I know, guys. You can be surrounded by people and be alone, and you can be a believer in Jesus Christ for a very long time and not be growing or progressing in your walk with God. So here's what I would say this morning. Every single one of us have a very deep need to belong and to grow in God. We all do. I'll just tell you my story, a little bit of it. I was a believer for 2 years. I had accepted Christ. I'd gotten baptized right after that. And it was an amazing high emotionally for me. I was fired up about everything. And then I can remember that high slowly fading into frustration. And I had the thought like, is this all there is to the Christian life? I mean, is this all there is to knowing God that someday things will be really good because I am miserable and frustrated with my walk with God. I didn't talk about my faith. I didn't grow in my faith. I wasn't connected with others in my faith. And then one day my roommate invited me in college to a Bible study. And he said, you need to get in this, sucker. And I did. And it began to radically change. I found a place where I could belong and a place where I could grow. And God radically changed the direction of my life. And I had found a place I could belong. I can remember those frustrations of, is this all there is to the Christian life? And then I was so stupid as a fired up new believer after I'd gotten into this small group and study, and I had written inside of my Bible, God rocks, like all over the place. And I still have that Bible. I'm like, I'm such a goober. God rocks, God rocks. But I was just excited about finding what I've been looking for over 2 years. I want you to turn with me to a couple of different passages. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke today. Luke chapter 8. But before we get there, I want to tell a little story. We were reading this, and it struck me as I was reading through Luke. There's a story that Jesus, he has his disciples at Capernaum, and then he goes across the Sea of Galilee, and he says, I want to take a trip with you disciples. And so he gets them in a boat, and he moves them over across the sea, and he has one encounter with one man, and then he leaves and goes back to Capernaum. So pretty significant time that Jesus took for this one guy. Well, here's how the story goes. This man was filled with demons, the scripture says. He was filled. In fact, when the demon, Jesus spoke to the demon, he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. This guy was just riddled with demons. And he was an outcast because he would break any bonds they put on him, and he was violent. And so he lived, it says, among the tombs. He lived in a graveyard. And this is what it says about this man. It says that he was driven by the demon into solitary places. And it got me thinking. That is what God, what the enemy of God loves to do to us. He loves to drive us away from other people, and he loves to drive us into solitary places. He loves to drive us into isolation. He loves for us to feel like we're all alone. That's what he loves to do. But life is not meant to be lived alone. So your enemy comes. I don't know if you know this passage, John 10:10. It said Jesus comes to give life and to give it abundantly. But it said, then it says, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and does anybody know the third word? Destroy. To destroy. Well, that sounds a lot like steal and kill. And so I looked up the word destroy, and one of its meanings is actually to separate. To separate. It's one of the usages of that word. And I can't help but believe that Satan wants to separate you from everybody that's significant in your life. One of his key strategies in your life and in my life is to try to isolate us from other people, to try to make us feel all alone. See, he wants to get you not talking with your kids. He wants them to get to that awkward stage where their friends are very meaningful, and then the parents would take a back seat and not push through the awkwardness and not have a meaningful relationship with them. In those difficult years, when they need you the most, they may not come and hug your neck, but when they need you the most, he would love to separate you from your child. He would love to alienate you from your extended family. He would love to get division in your family. He would love to get you at odds with your neighbor and get angry about the yard or angry about the car or angry about the dog. He'd love to cause division there. He would love to use one conflict, one crossword, one silly look to separate you from God's family at the church. He does this all the time, guys. One little thing will cause someone to leave God's church. Satan loves to do that. You don't know his favorite one? His favorite thing he loves to do is he loves to find a Christian couple, two people that love Jesus Christ. And he says, I want to get in there. I want to get in between those two. And I want to drive a wedge between their relationship. And if I can rip that apart, then I've done something significant. And I've ruined a bunch of stuff. He loves doing that. So he's attacking our relationships, the enemy. And when we feel alone or we are alone, he's won. See, that's the enemy's plan for your life and my life, to steal, kill, and destroy or separate you. But here's God's plan. You ready for his plan? Here's God's plan. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It's just from the life of Christ. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to the other, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were, what's your next words? The 12 were with him. They were with him. Get this. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So here's the deal. Jesus said, I didn't come to live life in isolation. I came to do life with people. I wanted to have other people with me when I spent my time on this earth. I wanted to create circles of people, circles of influence that were around me. Really, in the 12, he had an inner circle of Peter, James, and John that he was tight with. If you read the Gospels, he did everything with those three. And then you see the 12 were with him most of the other time. And then there's also this larger circle of who knows how many people that would follow him around. When he went from town to town, they were on his team. See, Jesus had all kinds of relationships. The Gospels don't give us a lot of info on it, but he lived a very connected life with other people. He created circles in which he lived. This circles things is a big deal. That you and I would live lives that are in a circle with other people. Here's what I mean by circle. You ever watched a mama duck? Mm-hmm. Gina's ready. Mama duck, what's the geometric shape of a little ducklings behind her?
Line.
That's right. You're on top of it today. It's a line. Where we're sitting here, is this a circle? Not really. This is a very lopsided circle. I mean, I'm a big boy, but I'm not going to take the other half of the circle over here. This isn't circle. When I say circle, when I'm talking about circle, is Jesus lived a life where if you turn these chairs around and faced each other and there's give and take and there's communication and there's love and conflict and there's resolution and there's laughter and there's tears and there's a sharing of life with one another. That's how Jesus did his life. In a circle of friends. Yeah. I'm going to show a quick video. Circles is a big deal 2,000 years ago, and the circles are a big deal today. I got a short little video I want to show you.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns family circle of trust. I keep nothing from you. You keep nothing from me. And round we go. Okay. Understood?
Circle of trust. You guys know circle of trust, right? It's a big deal. When a little boy comes to my house to talk to one of my girls, oh, there's going to be a circle of trust, boy. There's going to be a serious circle of trust, all right? But this circle of trust is a big deal. That's what the church is, and that's what Jesus was trying to model for us when he had a circle. Now, I get it. Being in a circle, that's easy for women. Guys, it's a little harder for the circle thing. Well, we prefer side by side. Have you ever noticed this about dudes? We prefer side by side. That's male bonding. You know, it's like, well, we played golf together. Did you talk about anything? No, not really. We played golf. We had a good time. I heard a worship leader say one time, it's like a lot of the worship music is a little too girly. Because like, I want to touch your face, Lord, and I want to snuggle up next to you, Lord, kind of stuff, right? I said, well, they should make some guy worship songs. A guy worship song would be like, I want to sit on the couch near you, Lord. I want to watch the game with you, Lord. You know, that kind of thing. So the circle thing's a little harder for a guy maybe, but we still need it. We still need it. I want to make this clear. Before Christ came and developed a circle, you'd never seen anything like it. Spiritual leadership in the Old Testament and every other religion was a top-down, authoritative, the buck stops with me. There is no circle. There is a hierarchy. There is a pyramid approach. And Jesus put all that on his ear. He said, I didn't come to do that way. It's not going to be leader and peon. It's not going to be queen bee and the worker bees. It's going to be a circle where we share life together. See, Jesus didn't invite people into a hierarchy religion. He invited them into a circle of relationship. And he divided not just the disciples to know him in that circle, but to know one another in that circle. Totally changed everything. You know, Jesus over and over again, when he called his disciples, you know what the phrase he used over and over? He said, come, follow me. He's saying, come hang out with me. I want to spend time with you. We're going to do life together. We're going to eat together. We're going to sleep in the same area together. We're going to be 24/7 together. And oh, by the way, you're going to hang out with each other. And we're going to be in a circle together. See, what he did is he said, worship, before Jesus, worship was simply an up thing. If I'm good with God, then everything in my spiritual life is good. And Jesus wrecked all that. He said, worship is not just an up thing between you and God. It's an up and it's an out. It's an up and it's an out. You've got to be right with God and you've got to be right with others. You've got to be in relationship with God and you've got to have relationship with others. You've got to be given here and given here, taken here and taken here. It is not an up thing. It's an up and an out thing. You were born to be in circle with somebody else. I'm telling you, this circle thing's a huge deal. It radically changed my life. And people that take this circle thing serious have their lives radically changed by being in relationship with God and with others in a circle of friendship. See, here's what's so cool. Hear me really clear. There are certain things you can't learn anywhere other than a circle. Did you know that? There's some things you just can't learn outside of a circle of friends. First thing you learn is that you're not alone. The number one lie Satan will try to tell you is that you're all alone. He's trying to isolate you. The second thing you learn in a circle is you're not alone. The second thing you learn is I'm not the only one like me. There's some really great news. You learn, you get in a circle and you go, man, they're as jacked up as I am. They've got problems like I do. The pastor's an idiot. If you get in my circle, he's as dumb as a rock. What did you eat this morning? I'm telling you, you learn that you're not alone. You learn that you're not going through anything that somebody else hasn't gone through. You find support from people that you didn't know. You would never know. I know your stories. I know most of your stories sitting here today. And what's so crazy is because I've been in a circle with a lot of you, or I've spent some time with you. And what's so crazy is I know your stories, but so much you don't know each other's stories. And you have no idea that you're going through what he went through 6 months ago. You also learn, here's what's cool. People learn how to find Christ in a circle. Jesus said that you will know that they will know that you're Christians by your love. And when an unbeliever or a skeptic or a doubter comes and gets in a circle of genuine believers who love God and they love each other, they are magnetized by it. They can't get enough of it. They go, man, this is the coolest thing I've ever experienced. These people genuinely care about each other. Man, I want more of this. If that's what God is, I think I might want some of that. We've seen multiple times where somebody that was a skeptic or a doubter or a cynic came and got in a circle and they found the love of God because of the relationships they built in a circle. It's incredible. I'll tell you something else you learn in a circle. You really learn how to love. You really learn how to love. Because I guarantee you, you're going to have someone in your circle you don't like. You're going to have someone in your circle that isn't like you. You're going to have someone in your circle that is politically different or theologically different, or they look at life completely different than you. They might just have little pet peeves that get on your nerves. And you learn how to love them anyway. That's something we don't learn anywhere else. Well, marriage. Different sermon, a different day. You learn how to love. I'm not going there today. So I was at a leadership meeting last week with our leaders, and we were going over kind of our process of discipleship, and we said, hey, this year we want to be about making disciples. That's what we've always been about. That's what Jesus said the church was about. And I said, what is our process for making disciples? And they all looked at me with a blank stare, and I was like, you know, the three words, blank stare. I said, we say it every week in the greeting. And they, oh, connect, grow, share. Yeah. The ones that knew weren't there. Okay. I was like, yeah, that's it. And then Kathy Berry, she goes, well, really what we're saying is it's all about relationships. When we make disciples, it's all about relationships and somebody taking time and being interested in someone else's life. And I said, exactly. That's it. That's exactly it. Can I tell you something? If you're here, whether you've been here, this is the first time you're here, the third time you're here, or you've been here so many times you're tired of counting. I can tell you one thing, we care about you. I mean, we really care about you. Here's what I know. We've got group leaders and a core group of people that are interested in your life. And they want you in their circle, and they want you a part of their lives. I mean, I know the hearts of our people enough to be able to say that without batting an eye. They really genuinely care about you, and they want you involved in their lives. See, the enemy wants to separate you. But God wants you with his people. I don't know how more clear to say that. I don't know how much stronger or more directly I can say this. Satan would love for you, if your Christianity just is a matter of coming to church on Sunday morning and never getting in a part of a circle and being in relationship, the enemy likes that. But God wants you around and surrounded and involved and entwined, your life entwined with other believers. There should be somebody in this church that knows your favorite color, your favorite food, your pet peeves, your favorite sports team. They should know where you love to shop. There should people in your lives that should know all that. And then they bring you a little Camaro and say, you've always wanted a Camaro, so we bought you a little Matchbox Camaro. I mean, people should know that. Not just about the pastor, but about you. I'll buy you a Matchbox car. Here's my question, guys. If Jesus found it necessary to live his life in a circle, why don't we? If anybody could have lived his life separate from a circle, it would have been him. If anybody on the planet could have gotten through trials and heartaches and hardship without any other people around, it would have been who? Jesus Christ. If anybody could have fulfilled the purpose of his life apart from anybody else, who would it be? Jesus Christ. Sunday school answers. I'm teeing it up for you here. If he found it necessary to live his life in relationships intertwined with 12 idiots, just like you and me, don't laugh too hard, then shouldn't we? Life is not meant to be lived alone. Have we said that this morning? Life is not meant to be lived alone. You say, oh, well, I've got friends. I've got a circle, my kids on travel ball. I got a shopping group I go with. I've got a neighborhood HOA, and we got some people we know. We got extended family we see twice a year. Are those really the circles God's looking for you in your life? I would just really question whether that's exactly the kind of circle God's looking for. My question would be, are those circles God-honoring circles? Look what Jesus says about this. Very fascinating. Just a little further down in the text. Luke 8:19 says this. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. But they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. I mean, the people were jammed up and they couldn't get to see him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. He's saying, listen, there's a priority even over my own flesh and blood, and the priority is simply this. Not any circle will do. I'm looking for somebody that is interested in knowing what God said in his word and putting those things into practice in their lives. That's where you find a circle of trust you can really count on, is when you've got people that said, I'm going to live by the standards and under the guidance and under the submission of Jesus Christ, and I want to put everything he teaches me and everything that he shows me into the practice in my life. I'm going to spend the rest of my life working on that. Now you've got a good circle. Now you've got a God-honoring circle. Now you've got a circle like Jesus had. And those are the people, I'm going to just tell you this, those are the people that when things get ugly and bad, those are the only ones that will be standing with you. I know. And most of you know. You've had a circle You've had a group of friends and you thought you could count on them and they let you down cold. It's almost as if God is saying this. They can be your own flesh and blood, but if they are pulling you away from me, then they're not your circle. They're not the kind of circle that you need. My kind of circle seeks me, learns from me, and lives in me, period. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's what we were wired to have in our lives. I'm going to tell you a little story. I had lunch with a guy this week. If he walked in here, you'd think several things about him. Young guy, early 30s, good-looking guy, in shape, makes good money, has a good job, very articulate guy, got a lot of gifts, sharp. And as we're sitting at lunch, I said, "Hey, man, how you doing? How's life?" He says, "I'm struggling. I'm miserable." I said, "Tell me about that." He started telling me about his life, and I started asking questions like, "Well, do you have any friends? I mean, who are the guys you hang with?" "I got a couple of guys here and there, but not really." I said, "Are you dating anybody?" "No, I'm not really with it." I said, are you connected with a mentor or something like that?" "No, I mean, not really." He said he was depressed. He said, "I've even thought about taking my own life." And I'm looking across from a guy that is he's godly. He serves at his church. He loves Christ. He knows a lot of scripture. He's the kind of kid you want your daughters to date, okay? And he's sitting there, I'm done. He did that little, he showed me, he said, "Sometimes I just think it like that." And I said, "Buddy, you're not connected. You're not in a circle. You're isolated, and it always leads to frustration, and sometimes it leads to depression. That's where you're at." I said, "You need to find that." I said, "I'm starting a new circle. Why don't you get in my circle? I'm gonna start a new circle. Will you be a part of mine?" He said, "I'd love to be a part of your circle." I said, "Come on." And then I got a text Saturday, and he said, "I signed up for Christian Mingle." And of all the profound wisdom that I had given him at that lunch, that's what he heard. He said, "Do you think it's wrong to like do that? Shouldn't God just drop that person, that special person in your lap?" And I'm like, "It don't hurt to try looking. That doesn't circumvent the sovereignty of God to get your name out there." See, Jesus had a circle. He needed a circle. I need a circle. You need a circle. Every single one of us do. See, we all need a place where we can grow and we can belong. Family's part of that, but it's not the whole answer. I mean, family, if you've got a Christian family and you love each other and everybody loves Jesus, you've got something very special. But I can tell you this, even on top of that, every single one of us needs a circle, a place to belong and grow. And you won't find what Jesus prescribes on the ball fields. You won't find what Jesus prescribes anywhere else. I don't care what other club you're in. I don't care how good of an intention it is. If it's not designated as a Jesus-centered, God-honoring, learning God and loving God and growing in God's circle, then it's never going to fully satisfy you because you were wired for that. You know, God, this is one of the reasons God established his church. I mean, he established his church to be a place that busts hell wide open and rescues people that are lost and brings them into the kingdom of God, right? Isn't that part of why God created the church? That it would be a part of rescuing lost people and bringing them into relationship with Jesus Christ? Can I get an amen? Didn't we talk about that last year? Isn't that what we're here to do? Can I tell you, as equally as important as that, God says, "I need a place where my children belong." Somebody knows their name. Somebody knows if they're not there. Somebody knows if they're down. They don't even have to ask, and they can see it on your face. Something's not right with you. We all need a place like that. We need somebody we can call at 2 a.m. and say, "I'm struggling." We need each other. And I know I haven't convinced everybody here of that. And somebody's singing, I'm doing fine. Sunday morning safe. I get that. But if you say, I don't really need this circle thing, can I tell you something? You are fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. And there will come a day that you will regret not being in one. I promise you. And I can also tell you this. If you're at a place where you don't need other believers like you think you do, I'll just challenge you with this. Then there's somebody in a circle that needs you in their circle. If you're so mature that you don't need a circle, then someone is struggling and is in a circle that needs you to help them. I'm gonna make this as plain as I can. Being in a circle at Crossroads means you're in a small group. Does that make sense? That's what I've been talking about the whole time. I finally got there, didn't I? Pull out your bulletin. There's a little green sheet. Go ahead and get them out. We're not going to ask you to make any sort of decision or commitment today. All I want you to know is we've got so many circles, it's sick. We got people in like three circles, some of these people. Because we're so committed to having relationships with each one of you. We don't want anybody to go without a circle. We've got a small group on Sunday morning that hardly anybody comes to, but we're committed to having and just in case somebody on a Sunday morning needs a circle, we got one. All right? Curtain's talking. So all I want you to do this morning is look at the fact that we want you in one of those circles. There's a place for you to belong and to grow this year. 2014 can be radically different than last year. If you take the little step of finding a group of people, you'll find out they're as weird as you are. They don't know the scripture like you don't know it. And you grow together. And you build relationships that for some people last a lifetime. That's what God would want for you this year. See, all these chairs are pointing up here. All these chairs are facing, and you don't know that the person sitting next to you or across from you or two rows back from you could have a profound influence and impact in your life. And they can and they will. So we want you in a circle. I struggled with saying this last line because I'm a people pleaser, but I'm going to just tell you this. I firmly believe this. A matter of being in a circle in a small group is an issue of obedience. I mean, I honestly believe if you're not taking that step, it's an issue of disobedience in your life. I believe that. I believe that's what the scriptures just taught us. Satan would love to separate you. God wants you with his people. Will you pray with me this morning? God, I can just tell you, I need you every day. And the truth of the matter is, I need other people in my life every day. I need to know, God, that I'm not alone. Maybe you want to tell God that. God, I need to know that I'm not alone today. I need to know that you care, God, and I need to know that there's a people that care. Because maybe you know God loves you and cares for you and is with you, but sometimes you need a physical hug, a physical touch. Sometimes you need to hear, God, your words through the lips of your people to say, I believe in you. God's got good plans for you. You're going to make it through this hardship. Everything's going to turn out okay. Sometimes we need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes we need to know that somebody else is struggling like we're struggling. God, it's so helpful to be in a group of people that are just real with each other. And God, I know you're jealous for each one of us this morning. That we'd experience all the benefits of being in a circle with other believers. Father, if some of us this morning would say, I've been in a small group and I've let that fade from my life, and I need to get back, I pray you'd do business with them this morning. Convince them that that's true. God, I know it's scary to show up at someone's home or show up at the Sea House and not know somebody. But if there's somebody here that's never been a part of a small group or they've gotten out of a small group and it's been too long, I pray they'd make that step in the next few weeks and they would find a place that they could belong. Father, I just feel led to say if there's somebody here this morning that's hurting and breaking in the inside and they just need a circle of two or three to come pray over them. While this song goes, we're going to pray for them. You come forward and we'll pray for you, because this is a place to belong. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.